Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres are getting ready to wrap up opening series at Petco Park, and we've got Mike Gianella hosting the program. And despite his many valiant attempts at trying to book them on the show, here's a list of co-hosts that Blooper didn't get to join Mike in studio.
We're still waiting for Taylor Swift, right? We're still waiting for Mick Jagger. Conan O'Brien stopping by any day now.
But Blooper did book both Bob Scanlon and Brady Phelps on the program, which Mike is very excited about.
Oh yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Gianella, Bob Scanlon, and Brady Phelps.
It's hump day! Welcome to Padre Social Hour. It's also the last day of the three-game series, the home opening series between the Padres and the Dodgers here in San Diego at Petco Park. And we are welcoming you into the AMR studio. No Taylor Swift again today.
Gosh. Can
either of you sing Blank Space at all?
Totally.
Let's hear it.
No.
Oh. You were singing, right, Bob? You heard him in the pregame, a little Michael Jackson.
He was bringing it all pregame. Then all of a sudden, the camera turns on.
Lights
he shuts
are on.
Off, you got a little stage fright over there.
Yeah.
Huh?
If you want me to sing
on,
Free
Brady.
Willy, I can.
Right, we'll save that for the last segment of the show. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Everyone just turned their TVs on.
Bob and Brady,
good tease.
Welcome
They're
to
on
the show, guys.
Thanks. Good to be here.
All right. Well,
excited to be here. Thank you.
First two games haven't really gone the Padres' way. Shut out those first two games. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but
were you aware of that, Brady?
No, you know, I did think that we lost the first game 16-0. So when I found out it was only 15-0, I was like, oh, that's not that.
You're feeling good about
things. Yeah, it's not nearly as bad.
Yeah.
Silver linings. You take what you can get. No, seriously though, the offense, it's not been good. Let me ask you guys this: will the Padres score a run ever?
They're going to score a run. Andrew Cashner is going to reach base on an infield single. He'll steal second base, move over to third on the ground ball to the right side, and steal home, don't you think?
World just happened? That was amazing. Can Blash at least hit him in so that
Sure, we'll give Jabari the RBI.
All right.
Sack fly? We'll get Cash in on a sack fly?
Yeah, it's his first game. It's
all right,
a big deal.
I like it. Nice.
They're going to score tonight, for sure. Write it down.
To make that happen, because Jabari Blash, we'll talk about the lineup a little bit later on, but he's batting eighth and Cashner ninth. So for him to drive Cashner in, I'm not sure the logistics of how that would work.
That'd be tough.
In my defense, I didn't actually see where everyone was in the lineup.
I didn't actually do any research before I showed up on the show to be here today.
In my defense, I have no business being here.
Let's talk about the woes about the offense, Bob. You've been watching every inning. What's the reason? Why is it goose eggs across the board for the Padres?
Well, first of all, you're facing Clayton Kershaw in game number one, right? So let's just give credit where credit is due. Not too many people score on him, no matter what the situation. Quite frankly, I thought they were going to get some runs against Scott Kazmir last night. He threw well, but that being said, the bottom line is this. You look at the top of the order, the Padres have only gotten one of their leadoff men on base in these first two games. That's tough.
One for 18.
If you're an opposing – look, if I'm on the mound and I know I can get that leading lady out, I'm feeling pretty good about things. I don't have any pressure. I'm not working out of the stretch very much. And if I do get into trouble, I know I can get out of it with a ground ball no matter what the situation. So Padres have to find a way to get some guys on base and put some pressure on this this Dodger pitching staff, especially Maeda, who's making his Major League debut tonight.
And that one was an eighth-inning double in that 15-0 game, which by that point, talk about stress-free pitching.
Matters, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Dr. Phelps? What's your diagnosis for these offensive struggles?
I agree with Scan. People have to get on base to score runs. Yeah, they've been terrible. I mean, at the plate, it hasn't been good. Although Jabari Blash did get a walk, which is pretty impressive.
Grasping for something.
I'm trying. I want it so bad. I mean, I think we have two walks total as a team. So he has half the team's walks. Is that correct?
I thought he's been a one-man show.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing everything, and now he's starting. That's why he's starting. He's gonna get walks and gonna make RBIs. It's gonna have a lot of trouble hitting in Cashner though. But yeah, I think that Kershaw. You have to chalk that up. As Kershaw. Like as soon as he went up 2-0 in the first inning. It's tough. It's tough to come back from that against Kershaw. Thought the same. Thought we'd pick up some hits day two. I mean, we had a one hitter, which was a infield single. That's not good.
No, but can we put it in perspective here? It's game number two. I get it.
Perspective is overrated.
We've all been waiting all offseason to finally get to opening day. You go through spring training and whatnot, and all of a sudden, all this emphasis is put on one game, then two games. It's very early. So I get it. It's fun to talk about, but from a player's perspective. Those guys aren't sitting in the clubhouse panicking right now, I promise you.
Sounds like you're calling for a 160-win season this year.
Why not? Bring it on, yeah. Okay. You lose the first two and then turn
and
it on.
Two.
Right.
Before we hear from Andy Green on his thoughts after the back-to-back shutouts, reminder, follow along. Use the hashtag PadresSH and also join the conversation at Padres.com/social hour. Let us know what you think is ailing this Padres offense the most. But for now, let's hear what Andy Green, this first-year skipper, has to say after his first two games manning the head of the ship have ended up with zero runs.
It's frustrating. I stopped short probably at this point in time of calling it a funk, but it's at this point in time, it's on the frustrating side for guys. But I think once you let go of the anxiety and you just go compete every at-bat and forget about the mounting innings without runs, the runs come a lot quicker.
So not a funk yet. But Andy has also, this is what he's good at. He's good at managing and massaging the message and saying the right things. And actually, Friar Gal, we saw on Twitter after the press conference yesterday, said, Andy Green impressed the heck out of me at post-game press conference. Smooth. But that's what else is he going to say at this point, right?
Yeah. No, again, it's early. He's going to keep the troops up. You've got to keep a positive attitude. And you were, Mike, you interviewed him, and he made comment of the fact that he said, look, we're going to have losing streaks over the course of the season. It's going to happen. It happens to every single team. He's aware of it. He knows the team is going to get challenged, and that's part of his responsibility as the skipper to keep guys up. And he also talked about leadership in the clubhouse and bringing in 8 veteran guys and saying, yeah, I'm the manager, but this is your clubhouse. You guys need to take accountability for it. So to a certain extent, he's leaving it up to those veteran guys to say, hey, guys, don't panic. Don't worry. There's some young guys on this ball club. They'll figure it out, and hopefully it starts tonight.
You've got the biggest man crush, I think, on Andy Green of anyone I've met.
Bigger than the Jabari Blash?
That was between you and I.
Oh, anything that gets discussed on this carpet is free for discussion.
I want somebody – I wish there was – it certainly will never be me, but I want somebody to dislike him, so that I can go after him and defend him like he's my own child. I love everything he says. So does everybody, and it drives me nuts.
Well, let me ask you this then. At what point – it's still early. We've talked about that. But at what point is his talking and his affability – how long does that leash extend? At what point do you start thinking, all right, this guy's got to start managing?
I think
if we
turn this 2-game losing streak into like a 20-gamer, we've got some concerns at that point. It's obviously not going to happen. But I don't think – I certainly haven't heard any murmurings. I don't know if you guys have in the clubhouse, if anybody worried about Andy Green. I mean, like we said, this is 2 games, 162-game season. I don't think that we're anywhere even close to panic mode yet. So I don't think anyone can turn on that switch of, oh, he's just talky, and we can all continue to love him and want to put him in our pocket and take him home and go
don't
to
don't do that. You'll get, you'll get arrested.
Is that awkward? I mean, he's a small guy, right? He's not that small,
though. Small.
He's not a Lego.
He's got some big pockets, though. So.
Yeah. I love him so much. I want to, take him and his family to church and bring him home for Sunday brunch. He's amazing.
I can't wait until the imminent restraining order on Brady Phelps
coming.
In no time.
It's just there's bets in Vegas about whether it's Blash or Andy Green on who's going to file a restraining order against me first.
Place your bets now. Something else, leadoff hitting is a problem in the innings, but also of the 18 innings so far, 12 of them have been 1-2-3 innings. And a manager like Andy Green who wants to bunt and maybe wants to hit and run and get aggressive, you can't do that when no one's on base. 1-2-3 innings really short circuits things before you get started.
No question about it. And one of the things that also is going on, you mentioned the quick outs. There have been a lot of early outs also. In fact, most of the outs that the Padres have made have been within the first 2 pitches. So they're not working the count real deep, which is okay against a guy like Kershaw. You better not sit there and try to work the count, right? You get something that you think you can get to, you better get to it. Kazmir last night, maybe a little bit different story. So we'll see how it goes. But again, this is all great conversation about, what's wrong with the Padre offense and everything. But it's game number 2. So let's see what happens. And let's bust out. I was talking to Zinter before the ball game today, and he's like, hey, the floodgates are already open. So let's see it happen.
Yeah, we'll see if in the 5th inning tonight it's still zeros, how feverish people get about it still game 2. We'll talk about the pitching, though, coming up next. But first, we got a little contest going on today, guys. We've got 2 tickets to give away to tonight's game. to watch it in the San Diego Beach Pier. Have either of you been out there to check that out?
I have actually been out there.
Yeah. I've not been out there yet.
On opening night, it's awesome.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah. You are not eligible for these two tickets.
Is this like
I am.
Based on restraint?
I haven't been there yet, right?
Oh, no, Bob. Social Hour hosts notwithstanding. Make sure you've got to prove to us. You got to come here once you arrive at the stadium. We're not giving it away to anyone that's here already, unfortunately, because that would be cheating. So take a screenshot or a picture of yourself not in the team store right now. Come on down to the team store at the Western Metal Building. Find us at the AMR studio and look for the poof. Look for the hair. And that is the lady that will have the tickets to give them to you. So make sure to check that out and check tonight's game out from the San Diego Pier. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some of that pitching because obviously the shutouts and the hitting struggles have been the dominant part of the conversation, but we're going to talk about the arms. That's when we come back. Right now, I want to remind you that Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego this July 8th through the 12th. Register now for the chance to purchase tickets at allstargame.com. Registration ends April 20th. When we come back, James Shields had a quality start last night.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back on Padres Social Hour alongside Brady Phelps and Bob Scanlon. Mike Janella here, and thanks for joining in on the conversation. We were getting some good responses here during the break. And again, use hashtag PadresSH to get it at us on Twitter and also join the conversation with moderator Fran at Padres.com/social hour. And one question we got from Dan during the break, asking me, I guess, but this may apply to you guys too. What is your go-to song for karaoke night? Has to be T-Swift, right? I guess with the Taylor Swift conversation. For me, Trouble by Taylor Swift is an amazing karaoke song. Very underrated.
That is a good one.
Karaoke?
My go-to is actually Cracklin' Rosie by Neil.
That's a hard one to pull off.
It's, well, not when you have a voice like mine, my friend.
Which you haven't shared with us yet on the show. I mean, pre-show, you're all over it.
I don't think it's fair to throw it on you guys when you're expecting it. So you're just going to have to, you know, wait in suspense.
All right, I'm waiting.
Have you ever done karaoke?
I have, yeah. Under the Bridge, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, nice.
That's a hard
That's my go-to.
Too.
That's a good one. Well, no, that's a nice, you know, like baritone voice. That's
sure.
Good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to some Padres pitching. We talked about the struggles with the offense in the last segment. The pitching, obviously, game one, giving up 15 runs. It was, you know, Luis Perdomo, his first start ever beyond Class A advanced. You can forgive that. Tyson Ross had his struggles. He talked a lot about that after the game. Yesterday, though, James Shields, 6 innings, 3 runs, qualifies as a quality start. Bob, what'd you see out of him yesterday?
Quality start.
Oh, I like that. Okay, so you're not cool with that stat.
I'm not a big fan of it in this respect. It's really not a quality start, is it? I mean, if you're going 6 innings and giving up 3 runs and you're walking around with a 4.50 earned run average, is that really where you want to be as a starting pitcher? I don't think so. I mean, it used to be, hey, 7 innings, 2 earned runs, that's a little bit more legit. So what's interesting, though, is, I mean, that the stat was actually started back in 1985. And I understand the purpose of it, and the thing that I do like about it is that it gives you a little bit of a perspective, right? It gives you a filter to measure guys with. Look, if a guy has 23 quality starts, you know that he's at least getting to the 6th inning, and you can compare it to other guys that are in similar stats like that. So I don't think it's totally useless stat like some of them are, but at the same time, if you're a starting pitcher and you think you've done a quality job by only going 6 innings and allowing 3, I think the standard's been lowered a little bit in Major League Baseball.
I would agree with you that, you know, 7 innings, 2 runs is better than 6, 3 runs.
Hashtag math.
So, yeah. So it's, I want to point out that is a great
So he did
call.
His homework on that.
On that one.
So I appreciate it. I actually don't mind. I do think it is a quality start. I think that we have come, like even in 85, and baseball had started evolving to kind of the game that it is now with the specialty pitchers. But I think now that we've got 7th inning guys, 8th inning guys, 9th inning guys, and you've got Tommy John surgeries at an all-time high, I think the stat is something insane. Like 1/4 of all starting pitchers have Tommy John scars on their arms, you know. And I think that calling for more than 6, it's great. I want it, sure. I mean, I would love to have like James Shields, didn't he have like 11 or 12 complete games a few years ago with the Rays? And so that would be wonderful to have that, of course. But I think if you can get 6, 3 is not ideal. 2 is better. But 6 and 3, knowing that you have specialty guys that are hopefully going to come in and shut the door for 3 straight innings, I feel like that specialty pitcher has kind of changed a little bit. And of what is considered a quality start.
You know, it's interesting. You brought up the fact that we have all these specialists right now, and it is cool. I mean, it's great to see that the bullpens are getting more respect than they used to. My issue, though, is this, and I think that sometimes it gets a little bit cart before the horse. Is it a symptom or a cause? Guys are getting all these Tommy John surgeries, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's because they were throwing too many innings at the big league level. We never saw that problem before when guys were going 250, 300 innings a year. But what's happened now, because of that specialization, well, there's a number of things. But with regards to this topic in particular, I think it comes down to, look, it used to be a skipper would say, hey, man, we got to get 7 or 8 innings out of you tonight, right? How do you do that? You pace yourself. I can pitch at 95, but I'm going to throw a couple 88s, 89s, go to the 95 when I need it. Nowadays, if you can hit 95 on the gun once, how come you're not doing it every single time? Yeah. Look, give us everything you've got for as long as you can. 5 innings, 6 innings is great because we got the bullpen. That's what they're for. And so now there's more pressure put on guys, I think, to go max effort for a longer period of time. And I think that's also contributing to some of these Tommy John syndromes that we've
seen.
Isn't
that better strategically, though? Obviously, human physiology, we can't touch on that. But if you can carry.
Whoa, why not?
You don't think
we're intelligent enough?
We're all kinesiology majors around here, aren't we?
You've just conquered basic math. We're not getting to biology
yet. I don't know
yet.
What kinesiology means.
But if you have the ability to carry a lot more pitchers nowadays and you can cobble together, all right, just give us 5 or 6 at your, not maybe max, but 90% of it, and then you can have these bullpen guys come in at 100% every day. Isn't that strategically better than having a guy go 8 or 9, pacing himself, having more guys just go fifth gear the whole way?
No, I don't think so. Well, strategically, if you got to win one game, maybe, but if you got to pitch an entire 162-game season, I need those starting pitchers to go deep. I need my bullpen to go deep as well. And what we see now are these bullpens that are getting burned out. So you have pitchers that are getting more Tommy John surgeries. I don't see how that really serves your team or Major League Baseball in general. And on top of that, you've got bullpens that are getting used more often under the same circumstances. Hey, you got to throw 96 to 97 miles an hour and bring it every single night, and we're going to be using you more because your starting pitcher isn't going as deep in the game. And the other part of it is when you have everybody throwing as hard as they can, if you're a hitter, isn't it easier to start hitting if you see 95 every single time you go out there, as opposed to, okay, the starter was 88 to 95 on occasion, but now when the bullpen guy comes in and he's bringing 97, there's more of a variance. So I think even from a strategy standpoint, the more starting pitchers can learn to vary their velocities, not only will they go deeper in the game, but it actually gives your bullpen a better chance of stranding those runners on base.
Yeah, there's something to be said for a mid-80s fastball, well-placed, and then when you want to rear back and chuck that 95-er, then, you know, that's a big difference.
Gets you a lot of easy outs, Brady. You got to have them, man.
I wouldn't know. You would.
So. just to put the whole quality start thing in perspective. So, like you said, a quality start is a 4.5 ERA if you extrapolate it to 9 innings. Quality start defined as 3 earned over 6. The league average ERA the last 5 years was 3.9. So it's, you know, not really close. But quality doesn't necessarily mean great. It just means serviceable. Your team is in it. And that's where I think I side with you on this one, Brady, because
you hear that, Paul?
Average.
He's siding with you. It's okay. I'm a scan sandwich right now between two guys that are disagreeing with me. It's okay.
I love the scan sandwich.
The mental image of a scan sandwich in my head now. I will not sleep tonight.
League we got to hashtag that somewhere, don't we?
Oh, no, do not start that hashtag. Yep. Do not start
out.
That hashtag.
He doesn't have to. It'll be started.
League average for runs per game the last 5 years is 4.2. So that's, in that 4 to 4.5 range, I feel like if you give up only 3 innings and 6 and you're relying on these shutdown guys to come in, you're giving your team a chance to win. What else can you ask a starter to do?
True. And in defense of the stat, and again, I'm not a big fan of saying that should be a quality start. I understand its purpose. The other thing that's kind of interesting, when you go back and you look at guys, let's say they have 23 quality starts over the course of a season, when you actually figure out the earned run average during those games that are considered quality starts, the ERA is in 4.5. A lot of those quality starts are 7, 8, maybe even 9-inning ball games where they've allowed 1 or 2. So actually, when you look at the average earned run average of quality starts in over the league, it's well below that 4.5 number. So it's still a valid indication of, hey, are guys staying in the game and giving you a chance to win games?
Yeah. I just want to keep saying quality starts because I don't brush my hair.
Yeah.
This is the episode of air quotes, quality starts, and scan sandwiches. Also, this episode, we got our Stan socks back.
Yes.
Also, something Brady and I are doing, and that Scan is not part of, but
sorry,
we are
bro.
Rocking some awesome socks today.
Yeah, you guys are.
Courtesy of our friends at Stan.
I'm kind of jealous right now. I'm busting out a new look. I've got the ankle-high dress sock.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about
new
this
look.
Sandwich anymore. anymore.
For those who are just listening to the show and not watching, bless you, because you don't have to see Scan's lovely
I didn't shave. Ankles. I apologize for that, guys.
Oh, good Lord. Let's get out of this tire fire quickly. Stance, thank you for the socks, guys. Stance, a proud supporter of the Padres, and they pride themselves on the creativity of their socks, like the Padres camo and Tony Gwynn socks. Discover all that Stance has to offer at Stance.com or check them out at the Padres Majestic Team Store, where we hear starting next homestand, they're going to have an entire section. After all, if it's not Stance, it's just socks. When we come back, we're going to talk about that Jose Bautista slide play yesterday, which has been lighting the baseball world on fire today. You don't want to miss it. We're leading up to Dodgers and Padres. Coming back right after this on Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Yes, it is Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studios. Alongside Brody Phelps and Bob Scanlon, I'm Mike Janella. As the Padres get ready to culminate their series against the Los Angeles Dodgers, looking for some runs, looking for a little bit more of a different result. Any kind of runs, yeah. But believe it or not, it hasn't been just Padres baseball across the landscape the last couple of days. There have been 28 other teams playing outside of Petco Park. One play that has been taking the baseball world by storm the last 24 hours, the Jose Bautista slide that costs, quote-unquote, the Blue Jays their game yesterday, the new Chase Utley rule. We're using the quote, the air quotes all show long. Make sure to chime in on your opinion on it. If you haven't seen it, make sure to check it out. But use hashtag PadresSH. Let us know if you like the play or not. So you guys have seen the play. What are your thoughts? Should that have been ruled the way it was? Should it have been allowed safe the way it was? Do you like the rule? Do you like the interpretation yesterday in particular? What are your thoughts on it?
Brady, take it away.
I don't like the rule at all. I know why it was put into place. I don't think that like this, as we watch this slide, like that wasn't, that's trying to get in the way, of course, which is what everyone's been doing since, you know, before the days of Ty Cobb. But he wasn't there trying to hurt him, and that's clearly what it appeared to be with Chase Utley, which is, I think, what set this rule in motion. But this didn't seem like there was intent to hurt, but intent to just break up the play, you know, which he effectively did. And I would be fuming if I was a part of the Blue Jays organization or fan base over this. Not to say that it didn't fall in line with the rules the way that they are now. I just don't like the rules the way that they are now. And I think that to ask Major League Baseball players who have been training and playing one way for so long to be like, sorry, you got to scrap everything you know and your instincts when you have to make a split-second decision, it's just, I don't like it at all.
This is a continuation of the wussification of baseball right now, okay? I mean, you've got the Buster Posey rule out there where you can't hurt, you know, slide into a guy at home plate anymore. Now you can't even try to slide hard into second base to break up a double play.
Right.
What's going on here? I mean, what really bothers me about both of these plays also, Mike, is the fact that in both cases where these guys got hurt, Buster Posey and Tejada, the shortstop, right, both guys were out of position. That's the reason they got hurt. They didn't get hurt because it was a slide by somebody that was out with malintent to hurt anybody, right?
Right, right.
Look, when you turn your back on the infield and a guy slides hard, you're going to get hurt. That's why they teach you not to do it. If you're a catcher and you don't get your leg properly up the third base line and somebody slides in, you're going to get injured. So guys are not playing the game right, and now the rest of the game has to suffer for it and everybody else has to change. I'm totally against this rule. I understand why it was enforced. I think it's a rule that's going to go through a whole bunch of different gyrations like the sliding into home plate rule has gone through. But the bottom line is this. This is Major League Sports, okay?
Right.
There's going to be contact. Guys are going to get hurt, and it's one of the things that the players want to have. It's not as though you got a bunch of middle infielders sitting there saying, thank goodness this rule got put into place.
Right,
even
right.
when the catcher's rule got put into place, they asked all the catchers, and not one of them was happy to see it put in.
I'm with you guys, especially yesterday, until the very end where Bautista reaches out and grabs the ankle.
He doesn't grab the ankle. He goes in with his hand. He's not trying to grab the – did he grab his ankle and pull it down? And did it really have any effect?
That's what it looks like. He's reaching out.
Take a
look.
He doesn't grab it.
He has his arm.
So he's grabbing.
He slides in. He slides okay.
The hand is there. He's swiping.
He's swiping with an open hand.
That's different than a grab. That's different than a grab.
It was an attempt to grab with a swipe.
It was not an attempt to grab.
That part I don't like.
It doesn't matter whether it's your hand or your feet the way guys have been doing all these years. And really, Logan Forsyth makes that bad throw, and what's his reaction? It's not, hey, this guy swiped his hand on my leg. It's, I'd made a terrible throw to second base. That's my fault.
Because a guy was grabbing my leg and throwing off my thing.
That's ridiculous. That has nothing to do with it. You ask Logan Forsyth if he should have made that throw to first base, and he'll tell you absolutely. He was upset because he didn't make the play, not because he was interrupted by it.
No, it's like, I mean, in basketball, a guy hits your elbow when you're shooting.
That's
hit
a foul. That's the way it's been forever.
That's going to be a foul. That should be a foul now, too.
You can change the rules. No, that's the way it's been. Basketball's had that rule for its entire existence.
So let's never change the rules.
And there's a spot for you at the Rules Committee. MLB, they'd love to have you because obviously you don't want any contact anywhere on the field.
You know who agrees with you?
Pitching inside,
there's
I guess.
There's a reason he's over there in his fluffy chair.
Hey, no more pitching inside.
Over here where we
I
can
do have the nice
no more pitching inside.
You know
pitching
who agrees inside. With you guys is John Gibbons, the Blue Jays manager. Let's hear what he had to say about the play yesterday.
We turn the game into a joke. I mean, really. I mean, that's flat out embarrassing. That costs us a chance to win a major league game. Was that the intent? Well, you know what? That's probably the results you're going to get. You know, I was talking to some guys in spring training. Say, wait till it happens where it ends a game. Major league game. Didn't end it, but, it, you know, we ended up taking the lead. It's really an embarrassment. You know, this, you know, baseball has been a hard-nosed game. He gets down plenty of time. He's going into the bag. There's really no explanation for it. You know what? And wins matter in this business, you know, and for that to come out like that, you know, that I don't get it.
Wow, he sounds intelligent.
He is intelligent.
Yeah.
Hey, actually, I'm laughing over here because Gibby and I played together when I was coming up through the minor leagues. He was an outstanding catcher. That guy taught me a lot about how to handle myself on a mound, how to handle myself in a professional situation. I was great. I was so happy to see him get a chance to manage the Blue Jays for a second time around. So before you get on my buddy and my former my battery mate.
Awesome. He must have put him in his pocket.
He's going in the other pocket. You're taking them both home. You got Andy on one side and Gibby on the other.
It doesn't extend to every major league manager. Only Andy Green.
And Jabari Blash. That's
no,
it.
But Gibby's obviously upset, and I think he has every right to be. I agree. And to a certain extent, it's an embarrassment, and it's undermining a lot of the core of this game.
You ever played catch with Gibby before, Mike?
I never have. That's bucket list, I guess, for me.
Put it on the bucket list, man.
Eric Burns, former big leaguer and MLB Network analyst, also went on a bit of a Twitter tirade. So he's with you guys on this.
He
was the most vocal. Yeah. Just because everyone's jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge wouldn't mean you should jump off it, too. Let's see what he said. So these are three tweets in a row. Last out of Jays-Rays game was an absolute embarrassment to game of baseball. New rule must be amended immediately. So at least he concedes that change and gyrations, as you like to call them, are good. Then he says there will always be risk in sports. The wussified world, that seems to be a buzzword of former big league players, I guess, that we're creating is detrimental to the game. And then he concluded by saying, just watched highlight again, undoubtedly the most disgusting call I have ever seen on a baseball field. I actually puked in my mouth. First of all, pick or it didn't happen, Eric Burns. Second of all, player safety is a big concern. I understand the rule as it's written is probably not the best thing, but when you have guys going out and swiping to potentially grab that kind of
gosh.
Stuff. You've got to take it easy. Ask Ruben Tejada how he feels about this rule.
That was a totally different play and way different.
Ask Ruben Tejada if he should have turned his back on the runner as he was coming into second base, and he'll tell you no. He brought it on himself.
Because you know what I also don't like? Jose Bautista, to reporters after the game, some excerpts from what he had to say. He said, I felt like I respected the rule. I don't see how my play was unsafe. I could have done much worse but chose not to. Well, that's good. You could have done worse but not to. I feel like players are couching the fact that they're trying their best, but you still have to look at the actual result compared to just the intent.
If he was doing that and he actually did make a conscious effort to do less because of the rule than he normally would have done, say, last year, then he must have been double furious, you know, thinking that he was actually holding back compared to what he would have done, and he still, you know, the game – double play, whatever.
I would not be at all surprised, Brady, if he actually was thinking to himself, I'm going to do a normal slide like I normally would, which is your legs out to the side. I'm going to take him out with my legs, which is normal. And the last second, he's thinking, oh, I can't do that anymore. So he goes in feet first, but he doesn't want to feel like a total wimp about it, right?
Yeah.
So let me put my arm out there a little bit.
Yeah. A little Janela.
It's going to take guys a while to undo this thing of playing the game properly and learning how to play it like
men.
You know, like a kindergartner.
Yeah. I'm going to head to the bank, and I'm going to rob it, but they're going to catch me and arrest me beforehand. But you know what? I didn't rob the bank, so I'm okay here.
I've never heard a worse analogy in my life.
I don't even know what he's saying.
Did you just puke in your mouth a little bit like Eric Burns?
I did that when I saw Scan socks. But
or lack thereof. Yeah.
You're just jealous. You want a pair. I'll hook you up with a
Thank
pair.
Thank you. Afterwards. I appreciate
no problem.
That.
All right. Let us know what you think. We're going to put a Twitter poll up now if you were okay with Jose Bautista's slide or not, and we'll see where Padres Social Hour Universe stands with us on this one.
For sure, on our side.
When we come back, actually, we're going to get away from baseball for a little bit. Jason Verrett, the Pro Bowl cornerback from the San Diego Chargers, was here last night. And once we found out that he was here, and we'll talk to Jason about why, it's a really cool story, we had to grab him for Social Hour. So I recorded it last night, but we're going to play it for you today. So we're back after that, after this, with him. But first, for the first time ever, the Padres are hosting a series of week-long summer baseball camps across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. To learn more or to register your future all-star, visit Padres.com/playball. We talk some pigskin with Jason Verrett after this on Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
We're back on Padres Social Hour here in the AMR studio. Padres Social Hour going on a trip to FIVA Island because we got Jason Verrett here. Pro Bowl cornerback. That's still got to be cool sounding for the San Diego Chargers. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you're here checking out Padres, Dodgers. Tell me how you got here, though, because it's a crazy story why you're here at this game.
Yeah, it was crazy. You know, I happened to just be on Twitter, you know, talking with the fans, and one of the fans, White, his name is, sent out a tweet and was like, man, if I get two tickets, would you come to the game with me? So I'm just thinking, you know, why not, man? Show some love to the fans.
Man, we try and be social here with our fans on Twitter, but maybe we have to give them like a guest spot on the couch when you're doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
You come to a lot of games?
Nah, this actually will be my second game. I came for, I think it was the Save Our Boats last time. I think I was here last year. But yeah, this is my first game of the year, though.
Have you been able to check out the ballpark yet, all the new renovations?
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of the stuff, man. It's crazy.
What do you think?
It's off the hook, man. I like it.
Any of the food stands? I know you're a pro athlete. You got to keep the diet right. But
yeah, I'm actually hungry now. So, you know, once we get done here, I'm going to try to go around some of the stands, man. So.
Yeah, the cheesesteaks look the best to me.
Okay.
So, you got to check those out.
All
right, let's talk about you. How's the offseason been? Obviously, you come off a Pro Bowl year. How have you been managing that, maintaining that, getting ready for mini camps and OTAs and all that?
Man, it's been treating me well. You know, first off, you know, the Pro Bowl was lovely, man. I enjoyed it being out there and definitely
seeing. First time in Hawaii?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, the fam was out there, man. They definitely enjoyed it being out there. And, off-season's been treating me well. You know, I'm back training in Carlsbad where I trained at for the Combine. And I'm with Jaleel Dye. A couple other Charger fans, Charger players are there too. And so, you know, I've been grinding, man. It's been good.
I feel like it's always a grind. NFL is 365, and even when you're not doing team activities, you always have to be staying on your grind, for lack of a better phrase. You said that being healthy is the big thing for you this year. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm solid all around, and I definitely want to maintain that throughout the entire year.
One question, we mentioned the Pro Bowl. You went to Hawaii. I've always wondered this, especially as a defender. Obviously, it's known for being an offensive game, no real hits. Did you want to just light somebody up? Like, hey, this is still defense.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely was taking it like a real game, you know, for the most part in the beginning of the game. But once the flow kind of got a little bit chill, man, I was just out there just having fun.
Yeah, I'm also the guy who in pickup basketball is playing, you know, right up in your grill, getting that defense going. So I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. But obviously, 4-12 last year, not what you guys were hoping for or expecting.
Right.
And I saw on Twitter a couple days ago, maybe a week ago, someone asked you, what was the biggest team need? And you said wins, which
right.
I love. That's a great answer.
Right.
But how do you get there?
So we've been doing, you know, just fine throughout the offseason, man. We added a couple pieces that we needed to fill in certain positions. And definitely, you know, this draft is going to be huge for us. And we're all just looking for a bounce back year. You know, with Phillip, you know, I think they went 4-12 before and backdoored and went 12-4. So we're definitely looking to do that.
Eric Weddle, somebody that you learned a lot from. You were under his wing a lot, and he's now no longer here, switching coasts. What did he teach you? What did he leave behind that you think can help you take you personally to the next level?
Just being myself, you know, doing my 111 out there on the field. And as far as the leadership role, just making sure the guys are, you know, following, you know. And throughout my entire 2 years that I got a chance to play with him, you know, I just stayed under his wing, just watching his every movement, how he attacks the practice field, how he attacks the weight room, how he attacks every game. And so I remembered all those things. So going into this season, I'm just going to take that going.
It's funny because you've only been in the league 2 seasons, but you're talking about being a leader and kind of taking command of that. Is that weird for you, or do you feel like you've been in the league forever now?
Nah, it's definitely weird. You know, I'm not really too much of the guy that, you know, is vocal. You know, I'd rather just lead by example. But, you know, it's a time and place for everything. So I feel like I'm in this position for a reason. I definitely just wanted to earn my stripes, you know, earlier in the year or early in my career. And I feel like I've been doing that.
You mentioned the draft a little bit earlier. That is coming up this month, Chargers number three spot. I mean, the mock drafts have you guys picking 30 different players.
Crazy.
Who you like?
I like Buckner and I like Ramsey.
I think that secondary of the future is pretty tempting,
so
right?
I like both of them, but I mean, I got my trust in Tom, and that, you know, they're gonna make the best decision for.
I think especially with Eric leaving, I think a lot of fans are salivating and maybe getting you a new running partner
for
2016.
For sure.
You were TCU Pro Day recently too, right? That's gotta be cool. You're like part of the fam now for alumni. How was that?
Yeah, definitely, man. It was an honor to be out there with LT, man. Being, you know, both of us are considered legends at their school, and you know, I had to go back to support, you know, my fellow teammates, you know, Josh Doxson, Aaron Green, Javon Boykin, and they all put on the show at their pro day. And definitely was cool seeing Coach P. He got a statue put up in front of the stadium. So that was pretty cool to be back there.
Man, well, thanks for taking the time. It's cool to have you here. Enjoy the game. I have to think about what I want to tweet at you now that we can do together. Paintball or skydiving or something.
Yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Man, I appreciate you having me.
All right, Jason, appreciate it, man. Yeah. Best of luck the rest of the offseason.
Thanks, bro.
Back after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
Hey, that's us, Padres Social Hour, with Brady Phelps and Bob Scanlon, Mike Ginella here. That was really cool yesterday, the Jason Barrett coming by. And what we didn't know at the time when we talked to him is that right after that, we see him and his new best buddy sitting front row. Those weren't their tickets, but the Padres ended up hooking Jason and his buddy up. So the lesson here, whenever a pro athlete is doing a Twitter Q&A, ask them anything. Want to buy me a new car? Want to go on vacation? You never know when that'll happen and when you might get hooked up. Very cool.
I thought that was super cool.
Yeah, very nice.
What a good kid.
Yeah. We're trying to hook you guys up, too. Don't forget, we still have those two tickets to tonight's game to watch from the San Diego Beach spot, the new awesome spot in right center field. Make sure you come down here to the AMR Studios here in the Padres team store and find the lady with the cool hair, and she'll have the two tickets for you here for tonight's game. All right, guys, a quick couple of reactions to our Batista slide talk. East Village Times, like those guys, happy birthday, by the way, guys. I think 1 year they've been up. So they say, hate the rule. Baseball is going soft. Ironic, since everyone complains the game needs to be more fun. You know what's fun? Your players not having broken legs and missing time from broken slides.
How many slides have you seen over the course of your baseball following career, Mike? How many?
Lots.
Hundreds? Yeah. Thousands?
Yeah.
How many have ended up in broken bones?
It's
one.
One.
One is all it takes.
Because a guy put himself in a position to have it happen to
him. One is all it takes. Sarah Beth, my friend here, coming to my defense. Mike Ginella, I agree with you. Looked like he was trying to grab a foot. See?
Yeah.
The swipe is a
grab. I know. When I grab, I always have my hand open, a little Ginella off to the side. Yeah.
My new dance move on every wedding I'll be going to this summer.
Hey.
All right, guys. Let's move on to
taking
tonight.
Place of the sprinkler.
Let's move on to tonight. I've done a sprinkler since like 95. Let's move on to tonight's lineup, brought to you by United. This lineup that the Padres are hoping breaks this zero-run schneid. And taking a look at it, you've got John Jay leading off and playing center field. Corey Spangenberg at second behind him. Right fielder Matt Kemp, followed by Will Myers at first base hitting cleanup. Little change here from yesterday. It's Solarte at third base batting fifth. Then Derek Norris catching in sixth. Alexi Ramirez the shortstop. Jabari Blash making his major league start. First major league start in left. And then Andrew Kashner taking the hill. So I'm going to put you guys on the Cholula hot seat now.
No, Jabari Blash is not going to hit in Andrew Kashner.
No.
You're amending that previous prediction?
Yeah.
It's going to be a batting around this amount of third inning. No, the question I want to ask you guys, A, will the Padres score tonight? And B, if you think so, pick an inning.
I'm going to say third inning because Cash is going to come up and do what I said. Cash is going to score the first run. I love watching Andrew Kashner play. Not just because he throws BBs on the mound, but he's such a great athlete. The way he handles his position, the way he loves to swing the bat, the way he steals bases, makes things happen out there. So I'm for Cash to break the ice and open up the floodgates for the boys.
I'm going to say, yes, they are going to score, but it's going to be a little bit later, like the sixth inning. None of them have faced this new pitcher from Japan. And so I think that his little ticks and his windup is going to throw their timing off, and it's going to be a little more difficult for him to hit first time around. But second time around, they're going to get to him.
some astute analysis.
Yeah.
Any scouting report from what you've seen from Maeda?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. He's sort of Greinke light in that he has a four-pitch repertoire, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup. Mostly fastball, slider heavy is what you're going to see. Get me over curveball. He uses the changeup a little bit more now. It's always interesting when you see guys transition over from the Japanese league. I mean, there's a couple things happening. They're pitching on five-day rotations for the first time in their life. Different mounds, different ball that they're working with. And let's face it, they're facing the best hitters in the world. It's a much deeper lineup that they've got to work through. So, you know, that being said, the guy can locate, and the Padres have never seen him before. So certainly advantage him through the first couple of times, as you mentioned, Brady. But hopefully the Padres see him the third time around after Cash has already scored that run, and they've got to bust things open.
So we've got the first run coming in the third inning and the sixth.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to split the difference. I'm going fourth inning.
Okay.
Second time around the order, and I think it's Will Myers who's going to drive in the run. I don't know who's going to score it, but Will Myers will drive it in. That was the Cholula Hot Seat. Uncap real flavor with Cholula Hot Sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. Speaking of that lineup, though, Jabari Blash getting that start, I wanted to ask your guys' opinions on that because he's basically already hit cult hero status. We know that we have president of his fan club is the nice way to put it. Potential stalker, I think, is the more realistic way to put it.
I don't even think I can claim as the president. There are a lot of guys out there on social media that are much more obsessed than I am, and I'm fairly obsessed.
Is that tough? I mean, you've played in the bigs. Is it tough, you think, seeing guys who have dealt with this kind of, not scrutiny, but it's a lot of hype for a guy who's never played in the major leagues before?
Absolutely. A lot of expectations, and, you know, he just wants to come out and be able to play baseball and do his thing, but he understands that he's becoming this cult hero in San Diego, and it's not easy being a Rule 5 guy, all right? That's another part of it also. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I understand why he's so popular. Once you meet this young man, he's just such a great person to go along with the physique that he has and the ability to hit the
Greek
long ball.
The Greek god physique.
He does. There's no question about
your it. Your words, not mine.
Yeah. Andy Green's words, quoting Skip Schumacher. So it's 4 degrees of Greek god. Let's just be clear about that.
So, I mean, a lot of reasons to get excited about the guy. And hopefully he can do something that gives the Padre fans something to cheer about, which is hit 450-yard blasts.
You guys look each other eye to eye too, right? He's
darn
a
near.
Giant also.
Yeah, he's a tall guy. Yeah, he's
cool,
probably 6'5".
He's
got about
6'5",
40 more pounds of muscle. Than I have.
I wasn't going to mention that part.
That's just strictly
talking about how
just talking truth, man.
No, he's a great guy, and it's a story you can get behind, the Rule 5 thing where he has to be on the roster all year or else he goes back to his old team. It's everyone loves that 40 home run potential. Every team wants it. And think about the payoff. If you get that from a guy that you basically plucked for a few grand from the Mariners, that's as good of a success story for a front office and a coaching staff as you can think of.
No question. It's always exciting. You go back to Roberto Clemente. You talk about Rule 5 type guys. He was one of them. And, you know, the challenge for Blash, I think, is going to be twofold. First of all, it's a big jump going to the big leagues. Now, granted, he was in double and triple A, so it's not like he's coming out of A ball like Perdomo is. But the other thing is, he's a big, strong guy with a big, long swing. Those types of guys, in general, you want to see them play on a consistent basis to keep their swing in line. We'll see how much playing time he gets and if that has an effect on his ability to be successful when he does get those opportunities.
Yeah, I didn't like him coming off the bench. I mean, I think it was great
he got in
for opening day, but for him, I mean, what he knows is starting and he needs to, you know, you got to use the righty-lefty matchups. And if you're not going to start him when he can, then why is he here? You
know? Right. Yep.
And that kind of hitter, a three true outcomes type, you need to be in the lineup as much as possible to help that come along. By the way, the results early on in our Twitter poll, were you okay with Jose Bautista's slide? I'm not kidding you. We're 50-50 right now through 20 minutes. So keep voting. It's a hashtag PadresSAH or check out my Twitter handle at Mike.
We're going to start a campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to find out how Brady here let a million-dollar opportunity slip out the window. But first, there's a brand new experience at Petco Park this season. Check out the newest space inspired by San Diego's beach lifestyle. We've been giving away those two tickets here. We're trying to give them away. It's the Craft Pier presented by Ballast Point and the San Diego Beach. These new spaces can hold anywhere from 30 to 500 guests. To book the space, visit Padres.com/groups. We're back after this to make Brady feel even worse about his entrepreneurial skills than he already does on Padres Social Hour.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
We've got a story to tell you about Brady Phelps, Bryce Harper, a Photoshop, and a missed opportunity. Brady, take it away.
Very funny. You know, I saw the article on Bryce Harper come out on ESPN, the Sorry Not Sorry, where he, you know, said baseball is tired. And I read the article. I loved it. I'm all into, you know, bat flip celebration. Let's have fun. And I had the idea, oh, these terrible Trump hats that are everywhere, make America great again. I had the idea to do one the same, make baseball fun again. And so I hit up my buddy Nick and I said, hey, I'm bad at Photoshop. Can you do this? Here's my idea. He sent it over to me in a couple hours and I shot out the tweet and tagged Bryce Harper on it.
Yeah, and it's a picture of Bryce wearing that hat. And then wouldn't you know, less than a month later, Bryce Harper in real life is wearing a Make Baseball Fun Again that Brady had nothing to do with. Someone else made the hat. Bryce Harper got it, wore it, and this is Brady gets zero out of this.
Ouch. That hurts, my friend.
Yeah, it's the story of my life.
You could be a part owner of the Padres right now. You could have slung so many hats
by now.
You'd be making the decisions on this roster.
Slinging hats. Yeah, it's pretty standard. I'm glad that Bryce saw it. You know, I'm glad he saw it, and I'm glad he's wearing it, and I'm glad he's being awesome in baseball.
The nation thanks you, Brady.
Yeah.
And Brady's bank account does not because it's still empty. Tomorrow at noon, join me, Bill Center, and Chris Ello. But for now, enjoy Padres Dodgers. Thanks for watching Padres Social Hour.